Indeed, we would like for you to listen to it. Important message in understanding sort of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As best as we can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's still beyond our imagination to understand the love that God has for us, the limit that Jesus went to for us, and the grace, and what's grace that God has extended to us. And, you know, someone said one time, and I agree, that, you know, grace is like love of God. The grace of God, it's hard to explain and have definite words for it, but if you've ever experienced it, you know what it is. And man, we owe so much to the grace of God. I preached from these verses before, but Lord kind of laid them on my heart tonight, and I want to go in another little direction with these. But in Revelation chapter 1, in verse number 17 and 18, we find Jesus saying something, and I want to deal upon that. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is John talking about Jesus. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I want to preach tonight on don't be afraid. Unless you're not saved. It's a wonderful feeling to not be afraid. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God did not give us, when we got saved, a spirit of fear, but he gave us one of a power and of love and of a sound mind.
God doesn't want us living our lives in fear.
I'm afraid a lot of people are afraid of life. They're unsure. And tonight I hope something that we will say will help, because we do understand that there's all kinds of things that can come in our life. We're frail, we're fragile. Our life can end at any time. The Bible is a book that answers all questions that we need to know. But when the Bible ever talks about our life, it always has it and talks about it in one phrase. And that is how short it is. Even if you live 100 years old, you'd be sitting there talking about how short your life was. There's people in here today that's in the 80s. And they would stand up and testify today that life's been a vapor. Been quick. It goes before you know it. In this life, we have sicknesses unexpected. We have failures. We have all kinds of things.
You never know what may come.
But today I want to share with you, and I want to share with you a couple of thoughts about being afraid. Number one, it's a sad situation when you got to be afraid to live. Now I'll be honest with you. This country, and we've seen it from the examples of a few, I know that this pestilence, this virus is real. I understand it to be real. I've even experienced some of it. I'm not trying to belittle it, but you can look at examples in this country that handled it completely opposite. Some places have shut down and destroyed every business in their state and caused devastation upon people and the economy. Now they're wanting us to send money and bail them all out. Then you've had others that stayed open and let them do it, and there's not a bit of difference hardly in the numbers. If so, they're even better in the places that kept things open. But I believe that we are living in a time when evil spirits are seducing many people. If we're not catching ourselves, if we're not careful, we catch ourselves be afraid to live. If I had to choose to lock myself up in the house the rest of my entire life or to live and take chances, I would live and take chances. I would depend upon God taking care of those things. But Jesus bids us
not to be afraid. Fear not.
365 times in the Bible we find that phrase, fear not, because God doesn't want us living in fear. That's not the spirit He's given us. As you can tell from the sign out there, at a time when the whole world is afraid, the church ought to be one that's without fear. We either believe what we say we believe, we either know who we say we know. And I'm so glad that we have a God in heaven that controls all things. But you know, there's people that takes their lives every day. They don't want to live anymore. They're afraid of living. Afraid of what life's going to bring about them. And so we need to be very careful that we don't get ourselves in a position where we're afraid to live. But then also, the Lord doesn't want us afraid to die. And we are going to die. It's appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. A lot of people don't like to think about death, but death is going to come. Not a person understanding my voice is not going to face death somewhere, somehow. God is the issues of death is in God's hands. He will make that decision when that happens. We don't know why God allows some to live longer than others, why He takes some in the prime of their life. We don't know those things. But we do believe that God has a reason for all things that He does. And we do believe that God does all things well. And so therefore, we're not going to second guess anything that He does. We don't have to be afraid of the grave. Jesus said that the last enemy that would be defeated in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would be death. And the death, that grave would have no sting, but only to those who are not saved, or those who are saved. Those who are not saved, death is a fearful thing we'll get to in just a moment. But also we need to understand that Jesus, He not only knows about the grave, He went to the grave. He not only knows about death, He experienced death. He not only has power over His own death, because He was able to come out of the grave. Jesus has power over death. When He ministered upon the earth, when He met someone dead, if it was for the glory of God, He'd stop it and He'd raise them from the dead. Stopped a funeral one time of a widow, bringing her only son in name. Stopped it. Told him, sit up. Went to Jairus' house. Told Jairus that the little girl, damsel only slept. Lazarus, come forth. You know why? Jesus has keys to death and hell. He has the ability to save souls, to prevent us from dying and going to hell. He is our Savior. We don't have to live our life wondering where and how we're going to die when we're saved. We don't have to fear life. We don't have to fear death. And we also don't have to fear eternity. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about it. He told His disciples that to let their hearts be comforted. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is preparing a place for us who are saved. Turn, if you would, to Romans, if you would, real quickly, chapter 5. And tonight I want to share with you how you can live fearless. A church ought to be fearless. How can we live fearless? Chapter 5, begin reading, if you would, in verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Moreover, the law entered, and the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more what? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let me tell you something. Sin abounds in this world. Everywhere you look, you see sin. You look into the world, you see sin. You can even look into the church. How many times we see divisions and schisms and issues going on that should never be in a church? We have other things that's going on all around us. We look in ourselves. We recognize in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So when the Bible says that sin abounds, it abounds everywhere. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And so therefore, we as sinners have to be very much afraid of dying. As sinners, it's even scary to live because we're always fearful what happens if we die. I'm talking about sinners that's never been saved. As sinners, we need to understand that if we were to die, we would have to face a righteous God. Holy. As sinners, we would have to realize that the moment that we close our eyes in physical death, our souls will be put and taken to hell. And we would open our eyes being in a place of torments. It's enough to be afraid of. A person who is not afraid of hell is a fool. A person who wants to try to put out of his mind and not believe that God is God is a fool. A fool saith in his heart, there is no God. We've got a lot of foolish people hoping that hell doesn't exist. They don't mind to claim heaven, but they don't want to claim hell. But yet, the same one told us about heaven, told us about hell. As a matter of fact, he shared a lot about hell. And he ought to know he created it. Hell was made from the devil and his angels. But yet, everyone who rejects the gift of God, that's where they'll end up. Not only that, but sin reigns, the Bible says. When you have sin, it reigns and it sits on the throne of your life. You say, oh, bro, I've had them tell me this. They'll come and say, preach my daddy's funeral. Was your daddy saved? Oh, he was a good man. No,
sin reigned on his life
if he was without Christ. There is none good, no, not one. You can't claim goodness with God when you've not been saved. You say, well, my works are pretty good. They're filthy rags in God's sight. You'll never gain any favor by thinking you can work your way to heaven. You say, well, I'm better than so-and-so goes to church. Who knows that they won't end up in hell along with you? But what you need to understand is this. Until you get saved, there is one that reigns on your life and sits on the throne of your life where you realize, and that is sin. You are dominated by sin. You are controlled by sin. And you say, well, I try to go by my conscience. Well, you might do a few good things that we would consider good things, but yet still the Bible says that sin abounds and sin reigns unto death. When you are without Jesus Christ, there are three deaths that you will die. Number one, you will have to face a physical death. You will have to die. If you notice back there in chapter 5, look if you would in verse number 12. In verse number 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon what? All men, for that all have what? So you have not been excluded. It is appointed to you as a sinner, it is appointed to you when sin is finished with you, that you die. One time I preached the funeral of someone who took their life, and everybody was hurting because of it. They were blaming themselves. And I said, I hate to put it this way at a funeral, but I want you to understand. Who's responsible for this guy being in the coffin? Sin is responsible. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And even though others could be more than what they may have been, fathers and daughters and wives, whatever it may be, sin caused this death. And when sin's finished with you, you will die. But if you don't do anything about your sin, you will die in your sin, and you will die a physical death. Not only you die a physical death, you also need to understand you are spiritually dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You are dead in trespasses and sins. When God told Adam and Eve that when they took of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, that they would surely die, he didn't mean a physical death. They died a spiritual death. Their spirit died. That's why you have to be born again. Somebody said, well, I'm 45 years old. Why do I need to be born again? Because your spirit is dead, and your spirit is what's born again. You have a new birth of your spirit, and it comes alive. And now you got a live spirit that's always been dead. What does a live spirit allow you to do? Communicate with God, worship God, pray to God. Until your spirit's made alive, your prayers don't get beyond the ceiling unless you're praying for God to have mercy on your soul. If you think you have a relationship with God, you need to understand your sins have separated you and God. The only way you can be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be reconciled. He is your mediator. He is the one that is your Savior. He's the one that can bring you God, and a holy God can look upon a sinner only through the blood of Jesus. Can you have a relationship with God? So not only do you have a physical death coming, you already are experiencing a spiritual death. You are dead in your spirit. And the thing is, in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 14, death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There will be an eternal death. What is the second death? The second death is when you stand before the judgment of God, lost in your sins. You already waiting in a place called Hades in the heart of the earth, but this is going to deliver you up. You're going to stand before the judgment of God, and when you leave there, you will go, because your name will not be written in the book of life. Look at, if you would, in Revelation chapter 20, you will go and be cast in the lake of fire, there to be tormented forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The second death is to be totally separated from God and all things of God. God is light. God is love. God is all these things. You'll never experience any of those things in hell. Hell, Jesus said, was total darkness. The fire will never be quenched. The worm dieth not, and on and on and on. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he goes on, describes that awful place of hell. My friend, sin abounds. And it abounds in you. Unless you do something about it, then you're going to die in your sins. And there's only two that can do something about it, you and God. God's done everything he can to provide a means that you might be saved. But you must come to him. If his spirit draws you, you must obey his spirit and come to him and receive Christ Jesus. As we preach this morning, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you must believe in the work that he done. Now, what happens according to Romans chapter 5 is this. Where sin abounds, it doesn't matter what you've done. Boy, I bet you've been an old wicked sinner in your life, haven't you? But look here. All jokes aside, we all are. We may not be doing certain things that other people are doing, but our sin sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus didn't come to die for good people. He came to die for sinners, of which every one of us was. But now look here. So what happens is this. Somebody said, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've had people call me, oh, preacher, I think I've committed an unpardonable sin. You need to understand what that is. Now, I'm not going to get into it tonight. But that had to do with the Pharisees in Israel and rejecting Christ and attributing Christ's works to the devil when they knew better. But look here. You may say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, but God does. And I don't care how deep your sin is, grace much more abounds. However bad sin is, and sin is rapid, but God's grace abounds over sin. Now look here. And if you will come and you will get underneath the grace of God, and remember we quoted this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by his marvelous grace, amazing grace. As a matter of fact, you ought to read the history sometime. I'm not going to get into it. John Newton that wrote the song Amazing Grace. Nobody thought he could ever be saved. He was such a wicked man. But when God saved him, he wrote that song, many others. You know why? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But now look here. The marvelous thing about being saved is this. I don't have to worry. And I don't have to be afraid. Because since I am saved, I'm not perfect. But where sin used to reign, now grace reigns. Do I do everything? No, but I'll tell you what. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me now, and when I don't do it, he lets me know that I'm not doing it. He lets me know that there's some things. Now, the wonderful thing about it, why don't I have to be afraid of death no more, Brother Junior? I tell you why. Because Jesus promised that if I will believe upon him, I shall have everlasting life and I shall never die. You know what happens to a Christian when they die? They just fall asleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, 13 through 18. Those that sleep in the Lord. You know what happened to Stephen when he was stoned? He fell asleep. What happens is we just fall asleep. Our soul's alive, waiting, but our body's just asleep, waiting for the resurrection, the great first resurrection. Look here. Jesus already done, and he already resurrected the first part of the first resurrection. There's three stages to it. The first stage has already happened. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53, the Bible says when Jesus resurrected, guess what he did? Graves began to burst open. And what happened was those Old Testament saints began to come out of the grave. Well, after Jesus, he was the first fruits, and he led them up there. No longer is paradise in the heart of the earth on the other side of hell and the great gulf dividing like Luke 16 describes it. Now paradise, Paul described it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as being in the third heaven. When you die now as a Christian, your soul goes to heaven. Your body sleeps. So look here. I don't have to be afraid of physical death because I'm just going to fall asleep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Look here. I don't know what it will be like. I don't know how it will be. But I know this. It won't be darkness because the moment that I close my eyes and I fall asleep, I'll open my eyes in the presence of the Lord. So I don't have to fear death. The second thing is, I don't have to fear a spiritual death. Because now I've been saved and God and the Lord has promised me that I can never die. When you get saved, and people need study of the book of life, I've preached on it many times, the Bible doesn't teach that your name gets written there. It says it's already written there. It gets blotted out. Blotted out. But you know, when you have eternal life, guess what? When does your name get blotted out in the book of life? When you are dead. You might die and God might give you up here. And I don't know if that time and place when you can't be saved, I don't know if he takes your name out. When you die your physical death, your name's blotted out of the book of life. Why? Because you no longer have any life. You have death. There's no life to you. You had life, but now you gave it up. You didn't take the opportunities in that life to be saved. And now you got to face eternity in death. But as a Christian, not so. Nothing can take my name out of the book of life. You know why? I have everlasting, eternal life. I shall never die. I have that promise of God. And so therefore, you say, well, preacher, I did this. I shouldn't have done that. You're putting too much on yourself. I'm not trusting in this one. I'm trusting in that one. That he's the one who gave me spiritual life. And look here. Then, instead of facing the second death, as John Rice said, don't threaten me with heaven. Look here. I'm going to die. Go to a place where there's no more sorrow. No more pain. Where I'll never grow old. Never have to see a doctor. Amen. Never have sore feet. Never have a headache. Amen. Never have any trouble. Never see sin again. Never see sorrow. Never see pain. And I have to live all my life in fear of that. And where I'll never die. And I'll always be with the Lord. And when I awake in his likeness, Psalm 17, David says in verse 15, when I awake in his likeness, I shall be satisfied. And look here. What do you think about it? Look here. You might be satisfied, and somebody said, well, we can't ever get the heat regulated in the church to please everybody. In heaven, it'll please everybody. There'll never be another argument, not even a bad thought. And I have to live in fear of my life? Thank Jesus. He has keys of death and hell. And because grace much more abounds, grace now reigns in this old boy. And because of it, I will not see physical death. I just fall asleep. I will not be a spiritual death because I have been born again. I have eternal life. And I will not see hell because he's gone to a place called heaven for me. And when he comes back, that's where we're going to go. When the time and place is right. But look here. So why should I be afraid of living? Jesus said, fear not what men that can kill your body, but rather fear God that can destroy both body and soul in hell. You say, well, what if somebody cuts my throat? Well, if you're saved. That solved all your problems in life. And look here. So why in the world, folks, should the church live their lives in fear? Why should we fear death when it comes? And why should we have to fear eternity when he's preparing such a great place for us that it can't even enter into these old infinite minds to see what God has prepared for those that love him? I don't know about you, but this, I'm not going to go jump in front of a freight train, but I'm not going to walk around my life scared of living. I want to live as long as God lets me to live. I want to be wise. But comes my time to die, I want to trust in Him. He promised me that He would never leave me nor forsake me. And at the point of death, He'll give me grace to die, just as He's given me grace to do everything else that I've had to face here. And when I die, my troubles will be over. And so I got nothing to fear in that. So thank God. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Let's use those things and be wise. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Jesse gets a song. Maybe God's laid something upon your heart. You need to come. But I will say this. If you're here, and I hope if there's some listening tonight, I hope that if they're not saved, that they understand what a scary thing it would be to be living in this time without Christ. You don't know when the next step. You don't know when the next breath. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. And oh, dear friend, I pray that you would just turn to God. And I pray that His Holy Spirit would be drawing you tonight to come, and you would obey the Spirit of God and come and give your heart and soul to Christ. If He's dealing with you, would you step out and come as we sing? Amen.